Christ is risen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most weighty moments of the annual call service is when the pastoral candidates, after they have all received their calls and have them in hand, the seminary president steps into this pulpit, asks them to stand, and gives them the charge to shepherd the flock, just as he did 2 weeks ago from this pulpit. If you listen closely to our reading for this morning from 1 Peter 5, you may have noticed that some of the language for the charge that the president issues is from this very text. In this epistle to the suffering church in the early decades of the church's mission, Peter first writes and counsels the individual Christians making up the church to inspire hope in them in the midst of their suffering by pointing them forward to the future, their future resurrection, to the resurrection of Jesus. Matter of fact, a good example of that kind of encouragement is found right after the opening salutation in 1 Peter, where Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." But then late in the letter, chapter 5, he addresses the pastors of the church, also exhorting them and building them up in the hope of what these under-shepherds will receive from the chief shepherd when he returns in glory. Peter addresses pastors by using the term elders, presbyteroi. "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Unlike the way we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and many other churches use the term elder in modern church polity for an elected congregational office held by laity, often who work closely with the pastor in worship and congregational membership models, Peter has a much different understanding in mind. Actually, elder, as most of us should know by now, is a term used for the pastoral office in the New Testament. It could be that the term was used not because those who had served in the pastoral office were older than the rest of the congregational members, but it may have been used because they had been Christians longer than a lot of the new converts, especially one might say in these early decades of Christianity. Still today, our admissions process does not accept new converts. Students must be not only Christians for a while, but Lutheran Christians for a few years before being called Lutheran pastors. Peter identifies himself as a fellow elder, and also as a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Here he's speaking to pastors as a fellow pastor, but he's also speaking to them from his unique status as a pastor who is an apostle, whose pastoral formation of between 2 and 3 years was spent watching and listening to Jesus as an eyewitness of the Good Shepherd. Yes, Peter could speak to them about being a shepherd, not only because he had experience as a shepherd, but because he also had been the eyewitness of the chief shepherd's ministry, an eyewitness of the good and noble shepherd, even an eyewitness of when that noble and good shepherd laid down his entire self on behalf of the sheep. Even though there was not one common title used in the early church for the pastoral office, there was a common understanding of the duties of the office as expressed here. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. As we heard once again yesterday in the gospel reading, most of you heard it in the sermon, obviously, from John 10, sheep need a shepherd. It's just a fact of life. They need a shepherd to guide them to pasture, to guide them to water. Without a shepherd, they get lost and death is certain. Peter knows that this is true also for God's flock. It's clear in the Old Testament. It was clear to him as a pastor in those early decades of Christianity. They need a shepherd who leads them to the life-giving waters of baptism, to the green pastures of God's word rightly taught, testifying to God's love in Christ through his death and resurrection. And they need somebody that leads them to the very body and blood of the Lamb of God, slaughtered for our salvation and raised for our justification. They need a shepherd who oversees the flock willingly and eagerly because he is called by and sent by Jesus, not because he's paid by the congregation. Shepherds do not use cattle prod walking behind the sheep. Rather, they walk ahead and then the sheep follow. Peter emphasizes that we are examples, not only in what we say from the Word of God, but also in the life of loving service that we live. We don't prod the flock, we lead the flock by example. And I remember it was my first year out, and there was a church growth conference that I attended. Dr. Fekenscher is smiling because he knows. He was also a pastor in the Michigan District in those days, 1985, 86. And we had a conference where I left and I said, this is just all wrong. The speaker at the conference was a church growth promoter. And he talked about how we had to get a different mindset about the ministry. We needed to be ranchers who let the hands take care of things, not shepherds who actually knew each sheep individually. I said, that doesn't sound like Jesus. We need to be shepherds, whether our flocks are 50 or whether, like mine, they were 1,000. Still need to know those sheep, still need to lead by example, not prod or hand that off to some hired hand to take care of. That's why Paul said, as he wrote, he says, through example, imitate me. Sounds like a very arrogant thing, but then he says, imitate me as I imitate the Lord in loving sacrificial service. Pastor David Peterson spoke to the final year students at the Lutheran Church Extension Fund dinner on Friday. He spoke very frankly about the challenges that pastors and deaconesses face in today's ministry. Peter certainly knew those kinds of challenges. He had experienced them in his ministry. And yet, here his focus is not on the every day-to-day types of things. He zeroes out. He gives you the big picture view. And what is that big picture view that he puts before people today in our text? He says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of unfading glory. And in the midst of those day-to-day challenges, we need to keep that big picture in view. What the end holds helps us to deal with the day-to-day challenges. And this is what the end holds: the crown of victory, not only for us, but for all of those sheep that we guide in their challenges day-to-day. I thought, though, that we all receive the crown of glory, so what's the big deal here that Peter is highlighting you will receive the crown of unfading glory. Actually, it's no different in essence. But what will be different for you and for me is the joy of knowing that the sheep whom we have shepherded under the chief shepherd will also be receiving the crown of unfading glory because we were faithful in guiding them to Jesus, in feeding them with Jesus, and in protecting them as Jesus would during their earthly journey. And that's what's going to make your crown so very special. And that's why Daniel wrote, "And to those who turn many to righteousness, those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever." The seminary president gives you the charge to shepherd the flock of Christ. But the chief shepherd himself will give you the commendation on the last day. "Well done, thou good and faithful shepherd." In the meantime, Jesus tells Peter, and he tells you, "Feed my sheep." In the name of Jesus, amen.